Hey, everybody, welcome to another episode of Movie Chatter. In tonight's show, we are going to be discussing This Is the End, one of the all-time great post-apocalyptic movies. And by that, I mean not necessarily even on anybody's radar, but...
Wait, this is the end of the show? I just got here.
Wait, I thought we were just...
Try to keep up,
starting, guys.
Try to keep up.
God bless.
Okay, I'm Eric, and I'm here tonight with Lou and Robin. Robin, how are you doing?
Yay, I'm good. I had, like, the most energetic day.
Really?
Wow.
Yes.
That's awesome. I slept most of the day.
I did everybody else's work.
That's you know, I wish I had more employees like that where I work. Instead of some of us doing everybody else's work, I wish it were the other way around.
There it is.
That would be nice.
That'd be great.
Yeah.
How was your day?
My day was hectic, but I'm glad I'm here.
Yeah.
That's good. Yes, the workday is over, at least for most of us. And so we are going to talk some movies here. Now, what you guys missed, unless you were hanging out in the chat room prior to the show recording here, I can't seem to load up IMDb for some reason. It worked fine until I rebooted, and now I can't get to it. Lou and Robin can. I had a list of things on the page I was going to pull up, including some trivia notes and stuff like that. Tom in the chat room is getting the same error.
There you go.
Yeah, it's not just me.
No, it's not a big deal if you don't get IMDb unless you're doing like a movie podcast.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, that's really one of the only times you'd really need it is if you needed to reference something, especially like if you're presenting information live on the spot and you need to make it look like you actually prepared. That's okay. So tonight we are going to be discussing This Is the End, which I'm going to describe the movie to you, but I'm going to cut back and forth with my co-hosts for little bits and pieces here. So this movie came out in, Lou?
2013.
Good job, Lou.
There you go. Thank you.
And your voice is much sexier than usual, Lou, I must say. Yeah. So
I've been practicing all day.
Yeah, yeah. 2016. So this is starring 2013.
Let's see.
Wait for it. Refresh. Nope, nothing. Okay.
I said it.
Keep trying. That's going to be a thing. So 2013, starring Seth Rogen as, I believe he was playing a character named Seth.
Yep.
Rogen.
Yeah.
Jay Baruchel playing Jay something with like a really long last name that I can't pronounce very well. James Franco playing James Franco. Danny McBride playing Danny McBride. In fact, everybody was playing themselves except the bit actors in the background at like the convenience store and things like that.
So yeah, right.
They were probably also playing themselves. They just weren't named.
Don't forget Jonah Hill, otherwise Apes from... April and Jay Have No Ideas will not listen to the show.
I have not forgotten Jonah Hill. We've got Jonah Hill. We've got Craig Robinson, probably best known from The Office.
I must have missed Paul Rudd. I don't remember seeing him.
I didn't remember him the first time around. And when I rewatched it yesterday, I did catch him. He was in, you didn't really see him until the outdoor scene with the pit at the beginning. Oh, I'm going to describe the movie here in a minute and you guys will understand what I'm talking about if you haven't yet seen it. But he actually was not inside the house. He ran up outside, I believe, and then didn't last long. It was pretty brief. Maybe he was inside. Wait a minute. I don't recall. Either way, he was just there at the beginning. So the idea behind the movie is that Jay Baruchel, who's been a friend of Seth Rogen's for years, goes and visits Seth Rogen in L.A., and they end up going to a party at James Franco's house with all these different celebrities. Rihanna's there. Michael Cera's there. Paul Rudd. Jason Segel, etc. And
Emma Watson.
Yeah. So they take a break. They go downtown to get some cigarettes and stuff and some munchies because Seth Rogen's been,
breathing,
smoking a little.
Not just breathing,
but creatively. So all of a sudden there's this big explosion and people start like there these bright lights and people get sucked up into the sky and they don't know what's going on. So they rush back to James Franco's house and pretty soon outside the earth opens up and starts swallowing people in. And they realize that they are in the middle of, well, they don't fully realize it, but they're in the middle of the rapture. So one of the very few Hollywood films to take on the religious side of the apocalypse. And then the entire movie is them as themselves trying to survive the rapture. So we talked about disaster movies last week, and I'm not going to lie, this was kind of meant in to some extent as a punishment for Robin for bringing up that idea, because I wasn't sure whether she was going to like this movie or not. Yes, Lou, you don't have to raise your hand.
It was a punishment for me too, actually.
The punishment for you too?
Because I like Seth Rogen.
Yeah.
This movie just did not resonate with me very well at all.
That's okay. It's okay. It doesn't have to.
It's not going to be okay when you hear what I have to say.
It was fun. There was a few funny moments and I chuckled and, I cringed at some points. Wow, that's pretty rough. But, at the end of the time, I got to be towards the end of the movie. I'm like, looked at my watch going, isn't it over yet?
For a movie titled "This Is the End," you would think that
The runtime is an hour and 47 minutes. I'm like,
it's not bad.
God, it felt like 2 hours and 47 minutes.
Oh, I should have saved it until I needed to punish you for something, Lou. I mean, I've been holding on to Kung Pao Enter the Fist for a long time.
Yeah.
All right, so Robin, before we get to you, I'll throw in that I did not see this in theaters. I saw it shortly after it hit video. And Tom in the chat room seems main pages down, but people can get to the page for the movies through Google. Okay, so maybe I will do that. And I imagine that because you guys already have it cached, maybe that's why you're able to get to it and I can't.
Maybe.
So I'm going to do it that way. Thanks for the tip, Tom. I saw it shortly after it hit home video. This is the end. And I liked it. I mean, it's definitely just a dumb popcorn kind of a stoner movie. It's one of those movies where it's the type of thing. It's just if people who know each other kind of having fun doing the movie. They all took a pay cut so that they could make film as kind of a favor to Seth Rogen and them just kind of goofing on things. 50% of the movie was ad-libbed. And it shows.
Yeah, it does.
So it's just, it's meant to be a fun movie. It's not meant to be really serious or very artsy, though there are some interesting things about it, I think. But Robin, I want to know, as someone who's never seen it before, what you thought.
I want the hour something of my life back.
You
might have to watch a musical. I'm sorry.
I did watch a musical, and I did disaster movies.
That was years ago.
That was like last year.
And I gave you Hugh Jackman in the musical. You gave me
just
nothing
worse than Phil.
The one star you didn't mention, who I think was the most true to who she is, or who I think she is, was. No, Mindy. No, Emma Watson was a whiner.
Mindy Kaling, she had like Mindy one Kaling. Line.
Oh, God. I hope that's not how she really is.
I don't know. I have this conflicted thing with Mindy Kaling and Schumer.
Amy Schumer?
Amy Schumer and actresses like that. Like it's like watching a train wreck. You can't take your eyes away from it. You don't know if you should be repulsed or intrigued. And sometimes with Mindy Kaling, I'm intrigued. And sometimes I'm not. That's all I got to say about the movie.
This is going to be a short episode then.
No, I have lots more to say about movies like this.
Okay.
But,
Okay. So we are going to try to throw in a little bit, not just about this specific movie, but about movies kind of like this in general. So you've got a few different things going on at the base level of this film. Number one, you've got actors playing themselves, which typically doesn't happen in movies unless it's a cameo. Mm-hmm. You've got the post-apocalyptic survival movie that's kind of it's not really in a bubble, but it's very much about just what's going on in this house. It's not about, traversing across North America to find the golden MacGuffin that will save the world or something like that. It's just about a group of people trying to get through the night.
Right.
Yeah.
There's also the religious side of it, which I mean is really, really, really watered down here, but it's still something that's never really tackled in Hollywood, is this I mean, just the rapture and the idea that being a real thing. So there were some elements here, I think, that we could discuss that we don't get to see very, very often. Robin, well, you also don't have to raise your hand. It's okay. We're not in school. Well, I thought Lou had to go to the bathroom earlier when he was raising his hand. Like
I've been away from college since March 9th. You got to give me something here.
Oh, that's true. So that's true.
Here's the thing. The one thing I can appreciate about this movie is it did tackle content differently than other movies have tackled it. Yeah. I mean, mm-hmm. if someone were to say to me, I'm going to make a comedy about the rapture and not make it like Spaceballs,
a comedy horror movie on top of that.
On top. Right. Yeah. I would be like, no. And so in that, yes, I can appreciate that piece of it, because the rapture is something that is, people are passionately crazy about. If you sit down and have a conversation with folks, there's no winners in that conversation if y'all don't agree to begin with. Does that capture it pretty good there, Lou?
Yeah, I think so.
I mean, I once had a neighbor who asked me a very simple question one time about, did I believe in Darwin or Jesus? And I said something along the lines of, well, I'm getting my PhD, so I am a scientist. And so, you know, and the next day there were angels hanging in the trees between the houses.
Are you serious?
I'm very serious. These are not conversations that people, you know, can like enter into, like,
right. Which is why we often don't really discuss
or not. Yeah.
We try to avoid certain topics on the podcast network, and religion has typically been one of them. Yeah. But I mean, I also know a lot of very religious people who believe that science is just the observation of the world as it was created. So
exactly.
There's nothing about there's all of this dichotomy where it's, you have to either think that or that.
Mm-hmm.
No. It's not automatically mutually exclusive. And then there's things like scripture has to be taken literally. And yet that same very scripture is full of analogies and metaphors. And there's a lot going on there, but people, whatever their stance is, you get some people who are more interested in seeking out knowledge and learning. And then other people who are convinced that they know exactly what the deal is, period, and that they have to get up in everybody's face about it. So there's kind of a few different camps going on there. I'm sorry that you got your trees decorated overnight.
I'm just saying it's an example of how heated people can get.
Very much so. Mm. Which is, I think, why Hollywood really doesn't tackle this sort of thing very often.
Yeah.
Or if it does, they go like way off the deep end.
Very broody, dark, like, you know, you're entering that zone.
Right.
This movie gave you, something different.
And there were moments, you know, looking again at the spirituality side of it, which again, that's not our focus here on the network. We're not going to get into theology, but as far as, a lot of times in Hollywood and television, spiritual characters are either presented as superficial and naive, or they're presented as crazy, wacko extremists. And there's not really an in-between a lot of times. And in this movie, they didn't really delve too much into it, but there was a little bit of it that was hit here and there.
Mm-hmm. I mean, they weren't real heavy handed with the whole religious aspect of it.
No, it was an excuse for the premise of the film.
Yeah, it was mentioned sporadically throughout the film. It took a bigger role at the very end, of course, but.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't think it was too heavy handed.
No. But,
I mean, guys, if you think about it, if you were in this same situation, you know, I don't know how I would react. I don't know if, I mean, I know I would
not react like most of the characters in this film.
No, not like most of the characters in this film, but, you know, given, visual life threatening disasters happening right outside my door, literally, you know, I've never been in that situation. So,
Well, I was gonna, I mean, there's a difference between a life threatening situation is right in front of you, i.e. tornado, whatever. And the other aspect would be, you know, a demon from hell who is 100 feet tall with horns. You know, that'd be something totally different too.
Yeah.
And I think you'd react differently to those things.
I would like I'd to think away. That. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I'd probably react pretty well to a, you know, tornado coming or earthquake or what have you. I might not react so well to a giant demon.
But we have actual plans for various different natural disasters anyway, like what to do in a hurricane. Like you can get books on it. Yeah, so there's a little bit of a difference there too, I think. So I want to ask you guys before we get too far into the movie, favorite death scene in the film? Any, I got to say that I've never been a big Michael Cera fan, although I understand that he's a pretty decent guy in real life, apparently to some extent, though I've heard some mixed things. Watching him, go out like a jerk really in the film was satisfying. It was kind of fun watching the celebrity style.
My favorite death. I don't know.
You guys just aren't as dark as I am, I guess. I don't know.
I mean, who was the character that kept getting his face kicked hanging out at the edge of the pit?
Aziz Ansari?
Yeah. That was fun. No, you're already in the pit. You're too far. You're gone.
Yeah.
As Craig Harris is running by him. No, you're already in the hole.
So,
No.
I didn't even ask the question yet. Robin, you really did not like this movie.
I'm going to make you watch another musical. This is like, I don't know. This is like middle school. I never wanted to teach middle school. I never wanted to be around middle school boys.
You don't get to do retribution for the retribution. This already is retribution.
Lou... Tell me
we get to this between you and Eric. I'm not involved.
You wanted disaster movies. This is a disaster movie.
I'm being
interested. This is a disaster. Yes.
And it's a movie. So there you go. That's, you know.
Is both.
You know, I mean, I'll say this. I mean, the comedy was good. Like I said before, I had some good chuckle moments where I'm like, okay, that's funny. But at the same time, it was so sophomoric and so over the top in places that I'm like, I just don't, you know, even if it's them reacting to how they would be in this kind of situation, which, you know, none of us know how we'd handle that. But if you were, you know, racing back to James Franco's house and you went outside and now you see the entire Hollywood Hills are on fire and there's some serious stuff going on here. Mm-hmm. How am I going to react? I don't really know, but I'm not going to react the way they did.
No, but that's kind of the whole point I tell you what, if I had to vote one person out of the house right off the bat, it would have been Danny McBride. Like, I don't like him that much anyway.
Right.
And then just his character in this was so.
When he shows up later on, I'm like, oh, good Lord.
Well, yeah, that scene and then Channing Tatum.
Exactly. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Honestly. But,
yeah.
Seth Rogen for me is an acquired taste, and he is a taste where my husband has to convince me over and over and over again that he's a funny man and then like force me to sit down and watch things he's in. And then once I get into them, I'm like, okay.
Well, I mean, he's got some good stuff. He's done some good movies.
I know. But if you say funny to me, watch a Seth Rogen movie or watch a Seth MacFarlane movie, I'm going with the other side.
Oh no.
Sorry.
Really?
I'm sorry.
I like Seth MacFarlane, but I just not that much. Like he's a good singer.
Yeah, he is.
But I don't know.
I don't think Lou agrees with me about the sets.
No, I like them both for different reasons.
I do too.
I mean, I think Seth Rogen's got some really funny stuff, and he's been really good in some movies, but
yeah, not all of his stuff is good.
Not one of them.
Okay. So I think one of the failings of it might have been just, I think too much of it was improv'd. They let people go too far, especially Danny McBride, I think. It was too far off the rails in some areas. In fact, the director, Evan Goldberg, who co-wrote it with Seth Rogen, apparently it's based on a short film that somebody did as a gift to them. Anyway, he had this game he was playing where he tried to get the actors to say no. He tried to come up with things that they just were not willing to do. And at some point, every one of the actors came to Seth separately and said, Seth, I can't. That's too much. That's a little bit too far. I don't think I can do that. Everybody except one.
Oh, God.
Want to guess without looking at IMDb, which I have up now. Thank you, Tom. Want to guess who it was?
I'm going to guess
the only one they couldn't break.
I'm going to say, I don't know, Jonah Hill,
James Franco.
Really?
I was going to say Franco.
Even Jonah Hill had some things that he said he just couldn't
but you know, the thing that makes me wonder about that is, okay, so there was stuff that they probably all came into a point and said, no, I can't do anything. I can't do that. But the stuff they did, I'm like, good Lord. Yeah. Like, and you're right. Maybe some of it was just the whole improv thing where they just went a little over the top. But I'm like, no, the whole, and we're a family friendly show, so I can't say the words.
Right.
But, you know, the sequence where Danny McBride's downstairs and.
Yeah. You notice they had, and James Franco's James up Franco on the railing.
Up on the balcony. Yeah.
Every time cut to behind the shoulders of Danny McBride and Seth Rogen, you can see Seth Rogen's losing it. Like he's breaking character and he can't stop laughing. And every time they had to cut back to the front, he's struggling to keep a straight face.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah. That scene sure really was a bit much for me though.
Yeah. And I'm going really
way too long,
5 minutes longer than it should have been. Yeah.
Yeah.
But, and I'm wondering, okay, so these guys must have had an ultimate blast doing this movie.
Yeah.
I'm sure they had a good time filming it.
So it feels like all of it just was just an inside joke then.
Yeah.
Well, that, and, excuse me.
I mean, it's very Kevin Smith-ish to some extent. Like, wanted to do a movie, so they did a movie.
And I'm assuming, Robin, you didn't see Pineapple Express.
I think I've seen Pineapple Express.
By the way, okay, the plot that he described in the movie as being the idea for Pineapple Express 2.
Yeah.
Actually was his idea for the sequel for Pineapple Express 2.
Yeah. I read that somewhere,
which is bad.
And you know, it's all the same guys for that movie and this, and that's kind of where this came from type thing. Mm-hmm. You know, it's like, let's put the same people in there. But yeah, it's a couple of cringeworthy moments where I'm going, okay, I'm a pretty open-minded guy, but yeah, I don't see that. I don't see that happening in real life, you know?
Okay.
Okay. Nope. I did not see Pineapple Express. I'm sorry.
It was another movie that, like, I liked this better than Pineapple Express, and maybe it's that not being a drug user, I had a easier time relating to this than I did that.
Mm-hmm.
But Pineapple Express had some really funny scenes in it too. So it sounds like neither of you two really appreciate this movie very much at all. And that's perfectly fine. So why don't we talk about other similar types of films where you've got not just a disaster, but like a true apocalyptic sort of cataclysmic end of the world thing. And I don't mean something that's set years and years and years later where like the dust has settled. I mean like the world is falling apart at the seams in the moment. Something like Cloverfield, for example. Or do you guys have any favorites as far as that? That I hesitate to call it a genre because Robin will correct me. But but in that category of topic.
I'm sorry, I lost train of thought. Describe to me what you're comparing. So, I mean, I see
any other movies that are found
footage type stuff.
Well, no. Just post-apocalyptic where the world is, people are trying to survive the actual world falling apart. I don't mean something where it's set 15 years later, where the dust has settled and recovery is already happening. I mean, like it's hitting the fan right now, that type of a film.
Honestly, there are so many. Mm-hmm. We could do an entire show.
Well, unless you want to go back to talking about This Is the End.
Well, maybe I'm not.
Do you have favorites?
Maybe I'm not thinking straight.
But I mean, if you think about.
What other movies?
Go ahead, Robin.
Well, like Dr. Strangelove.
I still haven't seen that.
I haven't seen it either.
Okay. That is happening real time. The world's chaos causes atomic bomb. Mm-hmm. You can see it, feel it happening real time.
Right.
Planet of the Apes is not so much. That's
yeah. That's something that's happened after.
That's something that's happened after.
Independence Day, Lou, would be another example of something where
Independence Day.
Happening right then, and you've got to figure out how to survive it. Mars Attacks. Another example of, I mean, a bad movie.
That's out of my mind. Yeah.
Really bad movie.
The other movie I was thinking of when you're mentioning this would be, it was a TV movie back in the day, but Day After Tomorrow.
Day After Tomorrow, right? Sure. Day of the Dead. Right.
I just wasn't, I didn't have my thinking cap on.
Well, Mad Max, no.
No. Mad Max is after the fact. This is them trying to survive in what's left.
Right.
Yeah.
I mean, truly, if you were to like look this up, you would have to dissect the list.
And we covered some of them last week, like Deep Impact.
Yeah. One of the lists I look up lists them by decade. And if you go through each one of these, you have to dissect out, well, this is happening real time versus this is the utopia or dystopia.
Right.
That we're engaging in. Right. I'm trying to just sort of, I have to tell you though, if I just pick one, I'm definitely going to pick, I just lost it. Independence Day. It's still one of my favorites.
I used to really like it. And then the more I watched it, the more I realized this is a crap fest. It's not good.
This is such a good cast.
Okay.
Yeah, good cast. I'll give it that.
Ridiculous writing. And the effects were great. And watching the destruction and the chaos was great. You know, all of that. But I there are so many things that are just horrible about the writing, not the least of which is, again, the idea that Jeff Goldblum is going to get into a spaceship with Will Smith, who's never piloted one of these before, flight up into the mothership. They are going to be able to hack the mothership's Wi-Fi. So this is a planet. How far away from our planet? And they happen to use the same wireless network protocol that we do. They happen to use 802.11b. Not some alien technology thing with like quantum beams and stuff like it. No. They went to Cisco or, you know, Netlinx or something like that and got a couple routers and did their little spaceship group with those so that they could hack with a Mac, no less. And I'm a Mac lover, but I mean, they connected to their network and then they hacked their computers and reprogrammed them. It's hard enough to do that in real time on Earth where you understand the languages and you understand the technology, but doing that with aliens on the fly, literally, like, just the suspension of disbelief is so overwhelming that just I was drowning in it and I couldn't catch a breath.
I mean, but it was a fun movie.
It was a fun ride.
Right.
It was a fun ride. Yeah.
Yep.
But if you think about that versus A Quiet Place, or
A Quiet Place is so much better.
That versus Avengers Endgame.
Okay. Yeah. So that's a good disaster.
Right? All falling in that.
You could even argue the first Avengers movie to some extent, at least the end part of it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Right.
Sure.
I mean,
sure.
That was one city, but you know, still.
One of the lists I looked up, The Darkest Hour was on it.
Haven't seen that one.
Excellent movie. Excellent movie.
I don't think I've ever seen it either. When was that out?
Darkest Hour? That was a year, Robin, 2011.
Okay.
And
I misspoke a minute ago. That I wasn't thinking of Day After Tomorrow. The TV movie I was talking about was The Day After.
I was going to say Day After Tomorrow. Yeah. I didn't remember being a TV movie.
No, but I was thinking that. I had it in my mind because that is one of my favorite kind of disaster in the heat of the moment type thing. I like that movie a lot.
Mm-hmm. I think I remember that one. Yeah,
but The Day After was the, I think it was 83 here. Yeah, it was a TV movie about nuclear war and kind of in the height of the Cold War, and everybody was really creeped out by it, and you know, all that kind of stuff. Yeah. I think it was a homework assignment to watch it that night on TV too.
Where would you guys put Maze Runner?
I mean, it's at that point, things have kind of already happened. So the dust has settled.
Okay.
But
okay.
I mean, it was, you know, that's one of those post-apocalyptic series where the book was so much better than the movie. I mean, they were trying to capitalize on the Hunger Games bandwagon.
Right.
And I think they kind of rushed the movie into, I don't know that they rushed it into production per se, but I think that they were... They rushed the writing of it, at least. Like, it didn't hold up as well as the book did. And then the movie after that was just crap. The movies didn't get any better from there, I don't think.
Yeah, I didn't see any of the Maze Runner stuff. What was the other franchise out around the same time with that?
Divergence?
Yeah.
Yeah, where they never finished it.
Saw some of those, yeah. Never finished it right.
Yeah. Tom in the chat room said Legion was a good one and had the religious angle in it. That's a good point. I forgot about that.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. So, but, you know, even when you do get that religious angle in there, it seems to be very much about the so-called spiritual warfare, the angels versus the demons and that sort of thing. And kind of like the Good Omens TV series, which is really good, by the way. You don't often get the person on the street side of things in those types of movies.
Yeah, true.
And again,
true.
I think it goes back to what Robin said in the sense that it would be very controversial to do so. But, So Lou, you and I have talked about this before. We even had a podcast for a while, kind of just an experimental little side thing we were doing called The Escape Hatch, where we were covering dystopias and post-apocalyptic stuff. I really like that I'm going to say genre, but that category of topic. Robin, is that something you normally get into or not? Not so much.
Not.
Okay.
Okay.
Not. I stumble upon it. Mm-hmm. You know, my love of, the post-apocalyptic stuff, my love of the Planet of the Apes, right? Mm-hmm. So it's not like I go after something because of the the genre.
Right.
I'll give you that one. There it is. I'm giving it to you.
Wow. Look at me. That's awesome.
Look at me. Look at it's that. Eric's birthday.
You're being so generous. Yeah. It's 5 months late. That's okay. I'll take it. Yeah.
But so I have to come to each movie. I can't come to the genre.
That's fair.
Right. Mm-hmm. I'm never going to sit down and watch A Handmaid's Tale. I'm just not. Not okay. gonna.
Fair enough.
But I find myself, I will watch I Am Legend. So it's either come to it for the acting, or I come to it because of the director, or I come to it because someone told me it was a great movie. Give it a try.
Yeah, that's fair. I mean, that's kind of, I think, the way most people should approach movies, right? Don't just narrow in on a genre or on an actor like Kenneth Branagh or Tommy Lee Jones or something like that. Really? You know, just keep it.
Really? I give you a gift.
I just picked two people at random. Just,
like,
just totally at random.
And throw it at me?
But, you know, you should go it. Like, if a movie is good, it doesn't really matter
right.
the genre.
But, you know,
right.
we all have those guilty pleasures.
Oh, we do.
And, you know, I've talked about, well, these are two of my time travel movies and dystopian type stuff. I'll go see any of them because I'm intrigued by the concept,
yeah.
you know, and they're not always done well. But I find something good to take away from all of them, I guess, at some point, because there's something new and different usually about each one of them.
You know,
I mean, even older stuff, like I'm thinking back to like Logan's Run, mm-hmm. you know, not a well done movie, but interesting concept, interesting storyline. You know, I'd love for someone to redo that in modern take, but
they're working on it.
Oh, are they really?
They were. I don't know if the project got canceled.
I want to
say
there was a series that came out, wasn't there recently or something?
There's a series that is supposed to be coming.
Okay.
Yeah. Whether it still is or not, I don't know. I've kind of lost track of that, but.
Mm-hmm. But you know, to me, the whole dystopian or post-apocalyptic stuff, it's always interesting to find out. Or to see how the people are dealing with things that are there now, whether it's soon after the apocalypse or years and years later, where nobody really remembers what happened, but now they're trying to pick up the pieces and still get back to, you know, going on with things. You know, it's fascinating, I think, to me.
What I like about it is there was one scene in this movie where I think it was Craig Robinson said it, and then everybody else just kind of bounced in on it too. But, you know, they're actors. They pretend they're all hard, but right. they're actually really soft. Like they don't, they're not those people, those characters that they typically play. And there's something about post-apocalyptic stories that really brings out who a person really is. Like if you have ever been in the military and you go get deployed somewhere and you're in a totally different environment, you're cut off from the culture that you know, the civilization that you know, and, you know, you're out in the desert in a tent city and, you know, you're working 12-hour shifts 6 days a week. And the one day you do get off, basically, it's just so you can do laundry and get your hair cut and whatever else you need to do. Like, it's almost like being on a different planet and you're cut off from everything. And it's funny how people that you may have otherwise been stationed with, you think you know them. And then you go through that environment and everything changes. Like you really find out more about what makes that person tick and who they really are. And I think to me, there's a fascinating element about post-apocalyptic stories in general, where you strip away all of the different, you strip away politics, you strip away class structure, you strip away finances. You strip away for the most part, a lot of resources, and it boils down to, if you're into comic books, The No Man's Land series with Batman, where they destroyed all the bridges in Gotham City because Gotham is on an island, basically, and all the crime lords took over and the government basically wrote them off as a no man's land because it was too difficult to get into it. And everybody on the island kind of has to survive and fend for themselves. And there's different territories being set up and stuff like that. I mean, essentially a post-apocalyptic story in the Batman universe. And it was really fascinating. Mm-hmm. You get people who... Mm-hmm. You know, what are you worth? Can you farm? Can you shoot a gun? I mean, if your main value in life is your ability to like be a politician and negotiate with others, you might not get as far as someone who has medical training or is a cop or something like that. Like, it's a whole different sort of world. And it's, everybody starts on a level playing field. So I think that, to me at least, there's something really fascinating about post-apocalyptic stories in general for that reason. Mm-hmm. So, this is the End is a fun ride in the sense that it is a train wreck that just spirals out of control. And you wonder how much of this is actually what these people would do in the real world. Right. Cause I mean, they're celebrities and you kind of wonder.
Well, don't forget they're actors playing celebrities, extending that
right
into it, they're not still this moment.
Yeah, they're not really real, they're goofing on themselves.
In that, it's really interesting. It's a very long extended improv where you know when you leave that improv theater, you would never say those things in real life to.
Exactly.
I would like to think that they wouldn't, but then I wonder how much of like when they get together and hang out is them. I mean, again, if this is improv, this came from those people. That stuff is in their mind somewhere.
Right.
Okay. They're not just reading it from a script.
The things you say in improv that you wouldn't say, like if you were on the street with a bunch of friends.
Sure. Absolutely. Right. You get arrested.
Sometimes, especially, and I can see it in this case too, if it really was truly 50% improv, you're doing things in improv just to get a reaction out of the person you're with.
Right.
Right.
You know, and you know, I may say something over the top that I would never possibly say anywhere else time.
Yeah.
But I don't get a good reaction out of the person I'm with.
Right. I did improv with my life partner and spouse. There's no way I would ever turn to my spouse and say something, you know, in our living room that I said on the improv stage.
I don't know. I've heard some of the things you've said to your spouse in your living room, and I gotta push back on that one a little bit.
He's a special man.
Yeah, let's see what Tim has to say about that. Well, I mean, I think that's kind of what attracts me to apocalyptic stories and dystopias and stuff, though, is resetting the playing field and kind of seeing where people are, because we live in an artificial society to some extent, right? Our currency is artificial. Our entertainment inherently is artificial. Like everything is a representation of something else, or it's an avatar or a placeholder for something else. And when you get back to the basics, you know, air, shelter, food, water, and survival, changes all of those socio-economic dynamics and psychological factors and stuff like that. So that's why I like movies like that. I don't know. I don't have anything else to say about This Is the End, I guess. I guess I figured you guys would either really like it and surprise me, or you guys would hate it so much that you'd rant about it for 3 hours. I wasn't entirely expecting there to just be like, it was okay, but dumb.
It didn't deserve it, Eric. That's like worse than hating it and ranting about it.
You want to know the truth, Robin? I threw it out there. So we were going to discuss the difference between director's cuts and theatrical cuts and stuff this episode.
I threw that out there when we were discussing
disaster movies, just kind of, let's just discuss This Is the End. And Robin's like, okay. And I'm like, wait a minute. Okay. Yeah, sure. No, well, it's on. We'll do it. I threw that out there as a throwaway statement that I wasn't actually thinking anybody was going to take seriously.
Midweek, you threw something else out there, so I prepared for both.
What else did I throw out there?
Director's cut versus...
No. We discussed that on the show last week.
Oh.
And we are doing that.
Yeah, and we... Remember when we started the episode last week and I said, I've got an idea for the next show, but I'm going to wait and tell you later in the episode. That was the director's cut versus theatrical cut because of the whole Zack Snyder cut with, which by the way, now we have Carrie in the chat room. Hi Carrie, by the way. And you're right. Handmaid's Tale does seem to be hard to watch, which is why I started it just to see like if it was going to hook me right from the beginning or not. It didn't really, and maybe someday I'll watch it. But so the Zack Snyder cut, do we know when that's being released yet? And now we have to wait the 30 seconds for the Twitch delay. But yeah, so we are going to discuss.
HBO Max will debut the project in 2021.
Okay. And possibly Carrie says, no, we don't have a specific. Specific release date. Well, they better hurry up. That's all I can say. So, but yeah, we are going to talk about different films with theatrical cuts and director's cuts that were different and why they were different. And is it better to get one versus the other and kind of what goes into those decisions and things like that.
Yeah, I am really looking forward to that discussion next week because I think there's some fascinating movies that have had director's cuts or extended cuts or, you know, why they were cut in the first place. Was it a timing thing or was it content, you know, that kind of stuff.
Right. And Kia, so you mentioned one already, Robin. I Am Legend had a director's cut that I thought was a lot better than the theatrical cut and stuck to the short story much better.
So let's be clear. We're talking about three different things, extended versions, director's cut, the thing that is released to theaters. Those are really three separate things. And so we should really tackle those and unpack those for our audience.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, I think it's part of all the same discussion, but yeah, I think it's
part of the same discussion, but
you know, what the differences are. One is done by the director. One was, you know, theatrical cuts are usually cut for time, possibly usually. Mm-hmm. And then extended cuts is just if it's maybe the director didn't make the cut, it was somebody else that made the extended cut.
Yep. So, yeah, because at a point the director gives up control and then sometimes they give up control and then take it back.
as we're kind of seeing now. But I mean, like you've got Lord of the Rings where the extended cuts were just way too long for theaters and there was nothing that really could have been done. Mm-hmm. And then you've got other situations where the cuts are pretty similar in length. There's just their creative differences. Again, with I Am Legend, with 1408 was another example with differences between the theatrical and director's cuts and the endings and stuff. We talked about that before. Dark City had differences. Blade Runner is always my go-to. Because there were five different released versions of that film.
Right.
And then, you know,
Eric, I will still always bless you for making me watch 1408.
Thank you. Remember that next time you think about musicals.
Musicals.
If you guys want to do Kung Pao Enter the Fist, I'll sit through another musical for that. You will be singing something by the end. What's the biblical term? Wailing and gnashing of teeth, I think, is.
Good Lord.
It's rough. And we have to do a random chatter. What do you call it? A watch along for that one.
Yeah, now.
For Kung Pao. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So we'll have to schedule that. But anyway, I think that's going to do it for this episode of Movie Chatter. I know it's a little short, but that's okay.
I think it's fine. Yeah.
All right.
We'll make up for it next week.
Yeah. Next week's probably going to be long. So if anybody out there, by the way, I know we've got a backlog of episodes to post and those are going to go up in the next hopefully 24 hours. And then I'm going to be finally caught up with the backlog of shows and we'll have it set up so that when we're done recording it live, I can have it posted to the podcast feed a few minutes later. And then the video to YouTube shortly afterwards. So very excited about that. And we're launching our YouTube channel this week. Just got to edit the last two shows. And then this one, we're going to get them posted. And finally, need to touch the graphics up a little bit too, I think. But but that's launching this week. So that's exciting. And I guess that's it. So if anybody out there has any movies that you think of, where there's a big difference between the theatrical cut and the director's cut, and you think that it was a mistake maybe to release the theatrical cut and they should have stuck with the director's vision or vice versa, let us know. Let us know what movies stand out to you in that regard. And then we will talk about that next episode.
Carrie
said Batman versus Superman. That's actually another good one.
Oh, I have thoughts, but I'm going to save them for next week.
Okay. It'll be good. I don't want to end the episode yet. We're not even in an hour. I don't want to go away. Sit back in my corner again. I guess I can play Minecraft Dungeons. Question. It just came out today. Yes.
What are we going to do about the 40th anniversary of the best Star Wars movie ever made?
Empire Strikes Back. We're going to petition on change.org for a director's cut. We just went over this, didn't we, Lou? Didn't we? Yeah, there's...
We had the...
We're going to petition for the J.J. Abrams cut.
Oh.
Can we do a Michael Bay cut?
If you want. You know, we were going to do an episode of the Story Crucible earlier today and cover the Phantom Menace, which we wanted to get Tim on for, but Tim has been swamped with work. So we waited
24/7
so that he'd be available now, but then his contract got extended. So
24/7.
Yeah, but it didn't happen yet. So don't know.
He is, if he keeps working 24/7 like this, he will be a part of the apocalypse, but it's going to be the zombie part.
What'll happen?
And so y'all prep for it.
He's you guys will be rich. He'll be too exhausted to spend any of the money. And Robin, I mean, score, getting, right?
Getting new shoes and a sheet.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. So, we're holding off a little bit longer on that, but we're going to do Phantom Menace on the Story Crucible just to continue with the Star Wars thing. And I think we could do an episode of Empire Strikes Back, I think, for movie chatter, if you want.
I think I can entice the hubby to sit next to me. Because I'm appearance. The only difference between the two shows.
Between what
Echo
two shows?
Echo Base and Random Chatter.
Oh.
I mean, Echo Base and movie chatter.
Yeah, mm-hmm. That's true.
I am the difference that makes the difference.
Does your audio interface have ports for two microphones?
Yes.
Okay. Do you own two microphones?
Yes.
Even better. All right.
I own my own setup. I just don't use it. Tim's setup is in an enclosed room with a door, and my setup is in the most open room in the house. So I would be disturbing all of the house if I used my setup. So I just
have all of the house join the episode.
That's right. Yeah, everybody in there.
I have a funny feeling that one of the three of them would have no interest in actually doing any podcast ever, if I recall what she said correctly.
Well, I'm just, if it has to do with Jar Jar, then I'm sure she would, you know, come on. But
really, no. If you can get her, I tell you what, if you can get her on an episode, Robin, then I will sit through a musical episode just for that. Aside from whatever other punishment related musical things happen. If you can get her on an episode, I would sit through having to watch a musical. I don't know if I'd record about it afterwards, but I would at least sit through a musical, which is a big deal.
You're going to sit through a musical anyway.
I would, whatever argument we have about whether I'm going to do it anyway, this would be separate from it. This would be an additional musical. I just upped the stakes. So see what you can do. So, all right. Well, that's going to do it for this episode of Movie Chatter. Thanks for sticking around with us. And Lou and Robin, I'm sorry you didn't like This Is the End.
Hey, you can't like everything, right?
Can't like everything. And the homework was easy this week, right? It was,
that's right.
It's kind of like having a week off almost. So, really, you know, brain wrenching sort of, you know, it wasn't Inception, right?
No.
I still don't understand Inception.
I don't understand how you can't understand Inception, though.
I have a brain. I don't, anyway.
Okay, that's all right. So let's see, closing. Go to randomchatter.com and check out all of our audio podcasts there. And don't forget to check out the YouTube channel, which you can reach by going to randomchatter.com/YouTube. That will be launching this week. You can also catch us on live stream. Right now, the location for that is twitch.tv/cinefan. That's C-Y-N-E-F-A-N. If you want to follow the channel there, that would be wonderful. And you'll get notifications when we go live. I do want to be upfront. That's my personal channel. So that's not the network channel. We're still trying to devise a strategy for that. But be sure to subscribe and follow the network YouTube channel, randomchatter.com/YouTube. Also randomchatter.com/Discord. You can join us in our Discord server. We've got a lot of great conversations going on there. There is a movie chatter channel set up there. It's free to access. So hop in there and give us your thoughts on director's cuts, theatrical cuts, things like that, or what you thought about This Is the End. And what am I forgetting, Lou? randomchatter.com/store/Patreon. If you want to help support the network, we'd really appreciate it. And just word of mouth, tell your friends about the show and about the network. That would be a big help. We would really appreciate it. That is going to do it for this episode of Movie Chatter. See you in a week. Until then, take care, everybody.